Thanks for joining us for another inspiring message from Alive Church, Orange County. To find out more information about Alive Church, please visit alivechurchoc.org. You can also follow us on your favorite social media platform by typing in Alive Church OC.
So glad to be back home. I was in South Africa last week, so I couldn't be with you guys for the Strength and Power Conference. But you know, I did something that I never done before in that trip. I did paragliding. How many of you have done paragliding before? Yes, all right. Well, you know, I wanted to challenge myself before I turn 60. I'm turning 60 next year. So I decided that I'm going to take the plunge, right? And I encouraged my team to do it together with me. So it was scary. Everyone was nervous. Some people chicken out, you know. But when we were there getting ready, getting our harness and everything, you know, our feet was wobbling. And then we were thinking of the worst possible thing in our mind. And I just feel that this is something we need to do. All right, so I did it. You know, they didn't give you a lot of time because when you get there, they quickly harness you up because they are afraid that you are back out, right? So they harness you up and they say, okay, let's go, you know. And then there are two people on the left and my right. And of course, there's someone, a pilot that's with me at the back of me. And all he said is that when I say run, just run, all right? So, you know, but he was taller than me. I couldn't really touch the ground, you know, touch the floor. When he ran, I just tiptoe and and lo and behold, you know, they just launched me out, and I got launched out from the mountain, from the hillside, and man, and all he said was, sit back and relax and enjoy the view. When I was cruising there, I never had a sense of fear because I know that he was well trained, that he has been trained for many years for such a time as this. And then as I was sitting there looking at the view, the sea, the city, the mountains, you know what the Lord says? The Lord says, this is who I am. I am your father. All you need is to sit back and let me propel you to where I need you to be. I will show you all the greatness of my kingdom and you will enjoy the ride. So you see the benefit of belonging to a father who loves us so much. Yes, one of the greatest invitations that Jesus gave us was not to simply receive salvation and come into his kingdom, but to know God as a father. Yes, you went through the conference. I'm sure you're all impacted by Pastor Mike. You felt deeply loved by the Father. Maybe you, for the first time, you encounter God as your Father. But how many of you know that you cannot encounter God as your Father only when Pastor Mike is here? And then you wait for the next year to reset again your relationship with God. Amen. So what now, after you have encountered God as your Father, you need to continue to build that relationship with God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Just like Dwayne and Amanda, when they fell in love with each other, they don't just, you know, just look at each other from across the room. I heard that they went dancing when they first met. But you see, when you want to get to know someone, what must you do? You must meet together. You must talk. You must do stuff together. You must understand one another. So now that you have encountered your father, and Pastor Mike says, to let God father you. How does that look like? How does that look like to have God father you? And I think I saw the message, and I think he kind of expounded a little bit about what you need to do. But today, I'm going to bring it further. I'm going to give you a framework. Everyone say framework. Framework. I'm going to give you a framework how you develop this relationship with the Father. Let me tell you this. No one was born into the kingdom and the next moment they were intimate with the Lord, that they know God and God is the center of their life. They have to go through a journey, all right? Now, if you hear me panting, it's because I just recovered from a flu. So I wasn't sure that I could stand up on stage. But I've been drugged up, as in I took a lot of medicine so that I can be strong enough to stand here with you. So if for some reason I cannot doze off, it is your fault. Because you were not enthusiastic enough. Because you didn't say amen when you need to say amen. You didn't say praise the Lord when you need to say praise the Lord. All right? So if I were to kind of doze off and lose my train of thought, whose fault is it? Your fault. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's your fault. So you need to come along and lean in and hear what I have to say. So Pastor Mike say, let God father you. But you know that the connection you have with God is through what? Communication. And communication in the kingdom is about prayer. Everyone say prayer. It is through prayer that you develop an intimacy. Now, the thing about this is when you get to know your husband, when Derek and I first met, I need to have a lot of conversation because he needs to know me, I need to know him. But the good thing about your relationship with the Father is your Father knows everything about you. Yeah. So you already solved half the problem.
That's right.
Now, the other thing is you need to know your Father. You need to know his heart for you. You need to know what he likes, what he doesn't like. How many of you know to have a healthy relationship, you don't need to know what the other party likes or what he doesn't like, right? I know my husband inside out. If there's a choice between seafood and beef, steak, he chooses steak. No doubt about that, right? So in a relationship, we need to know to get to know our Father, and prayer is the key. Boring as it may sound, it is the key to alignment and intimacy with your Father. So we need to learn how to pray. And mind you, when you know how to connect with God through prayer in the right way, prayer is never boring. In fact, it is so delightful. And that's why God says, when you delight in me, I will fulfill the desires of your heart. So understand this, that there are many misconceptions about prayer. And today I want to address this. Many people come to church, they know how to attend church, they know how to serve, they know how to pray for needs, but few know how to pray from intimacy. All right? In Luke chapter 11, the disciples came to Jesus and he asked Jesus, say, Jesus, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Now, this is quite weird, right? Because why did they not ask him to teach them all the fun stuff? The deliverance, the signs and the wonders and the miracles. You see, because the disciples had seen Jesus teach, heal and perform miracles. But yet, they specifically asked him to teach them how to pray because they recognized something powerful, that Jesus' authority flows from his intimacy with his Father. Because many a times, Jesus would withdraw himself to pray to the Father. And immediately after this request, Jesus downloaded the Lord's Prayer. Everyone say the Lord's Prayer. So he downloaded the Lord's Prayer. Jesus taught the disciples to pray, but he did not begin with power. He began with relationship. Our Father in heaven. Everyone say together with me, our Father in heaven. One more time. Our Father in heaven. One more time. Our Father in heaven. So you see, when you say our Father in heaven, you begin to take on a certain position because prayer was never meant to be a transaction. Prayer was meant to be a relationship, just like a conversation with your husband, with your wife, with your friends. You don't talk to your friends only when you needed something. Have you ever had friends like that before? Those are not really friends, are they? They only talk to you when they needed something from you. But true friends, they don't need anything from you. They just enjoy your presence. Right. Amen. How many of you enjoy that kind of friendship? Yes? So you see, sometimes we think that prayer is about getting an answer. But prayer is first getting closer. Prayer is not about getting answers. How many of you know that God knows everything? God can do anything. But prayer is first getting closer to God. Everyone say, I will get closer to God. So, listen up. The goal of prayer is not about information. Getting information to God, getting information from God. The goal of prayer is first, alignment. Everyone say alignment. Secondly, intimacy. Say intimacy. I want to help you with remembering this. AI. Right? The AI of prayer. Alignment. And then what?
Intimacy.
One more time. When you come in prayer and you align yourself with God and the kingdom, then you will have intimacy with God. And when that happens, it will bring what? Transformation. Everyone say transformation.
Transformation.
We all want transformation, am I right?
Yes.
We all want to break through. We all want to be better version of ourselves. But it starts from aligning our heart with the kingdom of God. So it is through prayer. That's why if you are not praying, you will not feel the intimacy that you felt last week grow on you. And in effect, after a week, that feeling starts to dissipate a little bit. After a month, it seems like it's a bit of a memory out there. There's a desire, but there's no feelings. You know, the feelings kind of wane. After a year, you're back to square one. So you need to write on what you have received last week and build on it through prayer. And today I'm going to teach you the art of prayer. And if you adopt this framework of prayer, your relationship with God will definitely be aligned and be intimate. And in the process of that journey, you will be transformed. Give your neighbor a high five and say, you are in for a great time. All right. Awesome. You see, prayer is where strangers become children, where servants become sons, and where believers become friends of God. So throughout Scripture, every person who carried spiritual authority first carried intimacy with God. For example, Moses. Moses spoke to God face to face. Wow. How many of you think that is so cool? Yeah? To speak to God face to face. And what about David? David, God says he's a man after my own heart. See the intimacy there? What about Elijah? Elijah built the altar before he called down fire. An altar speaks of intimacy. What about Jesus? Jesus often withdrew himself to pray to the Father. Well, I asked ChatGPT to create this graphic for me. The longer, the more I look at it, the more I see that they're all the same feature. Do you realize that? Anyway, that's just a side note. Okay, so power followed intimacy. Everyone say power.
Power
followed intimacy. Authority, everyone say authority.
Authority
followed relationship, and fire followed the altar. So if you have no altar, there is no fire.
Right.
Can you say,
amen.
See, I'm dozing off. It's your fault. When there's no altar, there's no
fire.
One more time. When there's no altar, there's no
fire.
Fire. So every time when you come to church, you must build an altar. You must build an altar. You understand why you need to build an altar? Because not only you need it, your neighbor needs it. There are people in this room struggling with life. There are people in this room that have lost hope. There are people in this room that need that faith to believe God for the situation they are in. When you and I build an altar, what happens is fire comes. And when fire comes, when heaven is open, the hearts gets refreshed. Faith arise. Hope once again is resurrected. Amen? So let's put aside the religious stuff and really learn to be worshipers of God. Do you feel the holy presence of God? Yes, the holiness of God is here. And what blessing it is to dwell in the holiness of God, to know that God is indeed here. God can be anywhere, but God only goes to places where there is an altar, where there are true worshipers of the living God. Today, many people are searching for breakthrough, but heaven is searching for sons and daughters who will come close. Heaven said, Jesus said, the Father is seeking such as to worship him. Who are the people that the Father is seeking? He's not seeking workers, leaders, or gifted people, but he is seeking those who will draw close. So understand this, intimacy is the birthplace of clarity. It's the birthplace of clarity. So when you're intimate with someone, you can see them really well. You can see God well when your intimacy with God is established. That is where you receive strength. That is where you receive authority and spiritual fruitfulness. Spiritual fruitfulness is a byproduct. It is an overflow. What people try to do is create spiritual fruit apart from intimacy. That will not last. That fruit is bad. That fruit will not bear eternal rewards. So understand the Lord's Prayer. Today, we're going to deep dive into the Lord's Prayer. Everyone say the Lord's Prayer. Right? The Lord's Prayer. A pattern for living, not just a prayer for repeating. Right? A lot of people can memorize the Lord's Prayer, but it's not just for repeating. It is a framework for us to get into the A, what? Alignment and?
Intimacy.
One more time.
Intimacy.
All right, so I'm gonna teach you the Lord's Prayer from Matthew chapter 6. So let me backtrack, Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus got baptized, and then he rose up, the heavens opened up, and the Father said, this is my Son, whom I'm well pleased. He was led into the wilderness and was tempted. He overcame the devil. Satan himself came out in power. And in Matthew chapter 5, he began to teach on the Beatitudes. Everyone say Beatitudes.
Yeah.
The Beatitudes is very foundational to every believer because it teaches you if you are righteous, these are the signs. These are the signs of a righteous person. After the Beatitudes, chapter 5, he went to chapter 6, which is Matthew chapter 6, talking about the kingdom and its righteousness. Right? In Matthew chapter 6, he began to start by continuing from the Beatitude. He said, if you are righteous, there are three things a righteous person will do. Do you know what is, are the three things? So if you look at Matthew 6, it says that person would give. And he said that a righteous man will give. And when he give, he instructs us not to let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. That means don't give and show off to others what you are doing, right? So then he said, then the righteous man knows how to fast. And he said, when you are fasting, don't try and tell the whole village, I am fasting. I am so spiritual. Don't do that. Quietly fast unto the Lord. And last but not least, he said, when you pray. Everyone say, when you pray. And that is where we're going to look at from Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 to 8. Let's read this together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. So why pray? Because prayer is not about asking for things. Because everything you need, the Father already knew. So the key objective of prayer, one more time, is A, alignment. I,
intimacy.
One more time, A,
alignment.
And intimacy. The AI of prayer. alignment and intimacy. So Jesus began to then teach them about the Lord's Prayer. And he said this, he didn't say pray this prayer only, he said pray in this manner. So we're going to read Matthew chapter 6 verse 9 to 13. In this manner, in verse 9, it says, in this manner, therefore pray. I want you to pray together with me. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptations, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So the Lord's Prayer is a spiritual framework. Everyone say spiritual framework. It's a framework for alignment with God. How many of you want to be aligned with God? Yes? Then listen how the Lord teaches us how to pray. It teaches identity, priorities, dependency, authorities, forgiveness, and protection. The Lord's Prayer is also a kingdom blueprint for life, right? So prayer is the main strategy. Everyone say strategy. If you want to feel God closer to you, you need to learn how to pray. You need to use this framework and pray yourself into alignment and intimacy. So we're going to break this down so that you understand how you can approach God and pray yourself into the very presence of God. So number one, our Father in heaven. This talks about identity. Everyone say identity. Identity. So when you come to God in prayer, you must first acknowledge that He is your Father. So He is, you know, Jesus didn't introduce Him as the great I am, the Holy of Holies, the Lord of hosts. He introduces God as the Father. So prayer starts with belonging. Not striving, not begging, not earning, but belonging. So if God is the Father, then you are the? You are the son. When I say son, I also mean daughter. Is it all right? Yeah. So if God is the Father, you are the son. You are not an orphan. So orphan strives, but son receives. So when you approach your Father, your prayer changes because your identity now changes. Now, here is where the challenge is. When you pray, our Father in heaven, then you pause. Most of the time, there is challenges at this point already because most of us don't feel intimate with our Father. Right? So when you come to God, you say, our Father in heaven. But if you don't feel that you are close to God or you struggle to identify Him as your Father, what must you do? You don't brush it aside and repeat the prayer as if you are chanting. You must address the problem. And you say, Father, I know the scripture says you are my Father, but I don't feel close to you as a son. You know, I struggle with my earthly father. I have resentment. If you have resentment, you forgive your father. But you address the issue there and then. But then what did you say? You say, but Father, I want to know you. I want to feel your intimacy. I want to know your love for me. Help me feel your love. Reveal your love to me. Amen. So if you don't address this, you are denying and then you are disconnected with God. So we must always be transparent to God. How many of you know that relationship is based on transparency? Yes? If a person is fake, can you build a relationship with a person like that? No. But you love it when a person is open. They are real. They don't come with an agenda. They don't come with their walls all built up and all say all the nice things and all the weather talk, but actually you do not know them at all. You know, you want to express your heart to God. And that was how I started. I didn't start, you know, knowing God as my Father. I didn't start feeling very loved by my Father, but I would constantly come to God and say, God, I want to feel your love. I want to understand what this love is all about. Amen? Amen. Everyone say, Our Father in Heaven. All right, so number two. Then after that, you go into Hallowed be your name. Everyone say? Hallowed be your name. So after you acknowledge who God is, who you are, your identity, now you need to honor your Father. You need to come and worship Him. Honor means set apart, holy, weighty, distinct. Understand that though your Father loves you, He is still God. Yeah. Yeah. Can you say amen? Amen. He is still God. You cannot casually come in and say, hey, dad. Or what do you call it? Hey, big man up there. No. No, you still come and say, Father, you are holy. You are the great I am. You are the God of heaven and the earth. I'm so grateful that I can come and approach you in this manner. You need to honor. How many of you have met people who dishonored you? All of us, me, if I could put both legs, we all have. But when people dishonor you, do you like to talk to them?
No.
So why do you think God would want to draw near to you if you dishonor Him? Amen. Yes, draw near to Him and He will draw near to you. But we need to draw near with honor. Right, so three things I want to say about this. Prayer begins with worship. Not give me, fix me, change my husband, change my wife, change my son, change my daughter, change my pastor. But prayer is approaching God and say, God, you are holy. You are the great I am. You are full of grace and full of mercy. You are the God who parted the Red Sea, who leveled the mountains. You are the God who is patiently waiting for me. So this aligns your heart when you start with worship. You see, prayer is not informing God as we read before. Because God already knew everything. Everyone say everything.
Everything.
God knows more than you ever need to know about you. God knows what you do not know. Sometimes you think you need this, but God knows you don't need this. You need something else. God knows everything. Prayer is not about informing God. Prayer is forming you. Forming you to be a son. Forming you to be a daughter. So when you don't worship, God cannot ascend into His position in your life and you cannot be transformed. Can you say amen? So prayer begins with worship. Number two, you magnify who you worship.
Yes.
How many of you know when you worship something, something becomes greater, more powerful in your life? Yes? Let's look at the scripture. The scripture, Psalms 115, verse 4 to 8. Psalm 69, verse 30. Let's read this together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. So the scripture tells us we need to magnify God. Why? Why is it important to magnify the Lord? Many years ago, in my connect group, we played this game. I don't know whether you played this game before. We played this game called Big Fish, Small Fish. So if I'm leading the game, if I say, and I come to you, okay, Chris, let's practice. If I say big fish, you must say small fish, opposite. You cannot do the same as me, right? Yeah, let's do it. Big fish.
Small.
You need to use your hand.
Small.
Big fish.
Small fish.
Small fish.
Big fish.
You got the idea? So when we worship God, we need to magnify Him. We magnify Him.
Yes.
You know why? Because when we have a big God, we have a small problem. All right? Practice with me, all right? When I say big God, you say small problem, okay? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Big God.
Small problem.
But when you have a small God, you have a
big problem.
You got the idea. When you have a small God in your sight, you have a big problem.
That's so good.
So good.
Yeah.
That's why the 12 spies, right, when they went into the promised land, 10 of them, in their own eyes, their God was small. That's why the giant becomes big problem. But then there was two of them, which is Caleb and Joshua. In their mind, God was big God. So the giant was a small problem. Yeah, so good. Amen. Amen. So even King David, when he saw Goliath, he was not afraid of Goliath because in his heart, God was so big. Yeah. So my brothers and sisters, when you don't worship, you are actually sabotaging yourself. Wow. When you don't worship, God becomes so small in your life. Your problem remains so big. Wow. But when you worship God, God begins to shine his light into your mind. And you know, whoa, my God is so great. What problems am I facing that's so difficult for God? Can you say amen? Let's give God a big hand. So number three, you start with worship, you magnify who you worship. Number three, you become like who you worship. You become like who you worship. You get transformed in your glory, in your image. Psalms 115 verse 4 to 8 says, their idols are silver and gold. Those who make them are like them. So it's everyone who trusts in them. Talking about the idol worshippers. Have you ever seen in social media people tattoo their whole face, cut their tongue, and then make themselves look like serpents? Guess who they worship? Satan. That's how they look like. So understand, when you worship God, you will look like God. How many of you know God is beautiful and glorious and full of light and peace and joy? Amen. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 says, and we all beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, from glory to glory. Just as Moses, when he worshiped God at Mount Sinai, he worshiped God face to face and his face shined with the glory of God. When he came down, the people said, oh, you need to cover your face because it was so bright. Symbolically, when you dare to worship God, you carry His light wherever you go. And just by being there, people are convicted that they need to come to Jesus. Amen? Yeah, amen. So understand that there's so much power when we learn to worship God. So I want to see a live church be known as a church that worships. Be known as a church that knows the art of worship. That in this place, we know when we worship, heaven comes down here on earth. Amen? Amen. When we don't worship God, what happens? When we don't worship God, who do we worship? Ourselves. When we don't worship God, you worship yourself. Remember Lucifer? Remember Lucifer? He was an archangel. God created him beautiful. Lots of precious stones. I shared this in one of my sermons before. He was made of instruments on his body with precious stones. So Lucifer was in charge of worship and he was in charge of one third of the angels in heaven. And so when it comes to gathering of the angels who worship the Lord, he would just open up his hands. And then music will flow out of his body and then there will be the worship. And all the angels will worship together. Have you ever been to disco before? I know I'm dating myself. The disco ball, you know, yeah, it's very much like that. Because he's got precious stones on the inside of him. When he lifts up his hands, and then the lights will go off, music will go off. But Lucifer did not worship God. He began to worship himself. He said, I will ascend to heaven. I will, you know, I will come up and be worshipped. I will do this. I will do that. He was lifted up in pride. Yeah. You see, that's what happens when you don't worship God. You worship yourself and then pride becomes the cornerstone of your life. And so he got cast down from heaven. When he got cast down from heaven, God did not create another archangel to replace him. But who did he create? He created human beings. He created you and I to replace what Lucifer was doing. Can you say amen? Men and women are created to worship. Men and women are created to worship. We are created to take the place of Lucifer and worship God. And when we don't worship God, that's where darkness kind of infiltrate into our territory. Amen? Let me tell you, if you are a worshiper, no demons like to hang around you. Don't just come to the altar and be delivered and keep being delivered. Delivered, go back and worship God. If you worship God, demons won't want to hang around you because they hate it when people worship God. Amen. I know, I've been there before. I've been delivered before. But I know the only way to protect me is when I come into alignment and intimacy with my Father through worship. My Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Number three, thy kingdom come. Your kingdom come talks about alignment. Everyone say alignment. At this point, Jesus began to teach the disciples the Lord's Prayer. This is the turning point of the prayer. Before my needs, my struggles, my future, Jesus teaches your kingdom come talks about alignment. So what Jesus is saying is that you rule here. God rules here. God reigns here. God governs here. So prayer is inviting heaven's government here on earth. Prayer is not God, join my agenda. Prayer is Lord, I join yours. Amen? Lord, I join yours. So thy kingdom come. Understand this. If you are praying not as a citizen of the kingdom, then you don't get the manifestation and the benefits of the kingdom, right? So next week, I'm going to talk a lot more about this, the kingdom of God. So we need to align ourselves with the kingdom. Who is the king of the kingdom? Jesus, right? And the Father is the giver, the benefactor in the kingdom of God. So the Bible has many powerful stories of the effects of joining God's agenda. So, for example, Joshua, in the book of Joshua chapter 10, the sun stood still. Have you remember the story? The sun stood still. Now, I want to tell you this story because many a times we think that all those stories only happen in the Bible, it will not happen in real life. But all of us has the ability to pray for the sun to stand still in your situation. So 5 kings came, gathered to attack Israel. Israel are a bunch of slaves. They do not know how to fight them. There are too many of them. And so when God told Joshua that he is going to make sure that the Israelites will not be defeated and they will overcome. In Joshua chapter 10 verse 8. And the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hand. Not a man shall stand before you. Not a man shall stand before you. God promised Joshua. All right, so in the midst of the battle, the sun was setting. So Joshua came to God and began to request this thing for the sun to stand still. And in verse 12 to verse 14, you can read it. Joshua declared that the sun would stand still over Gibeon. All right, and maybe let me read this. In Joshua chapter 10, verse 12 to 14. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand still over Gibeon. All right, so let me skip to. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. And there has been no day like that before it or after it that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. So listen up. God has promised you many things in the scripture. Yes. Amen? Amen? That is the promise of God. So when you come in and pray, you need to hang on to the promises of God. Because it is the promise of God that will cause the miracles to happen. It is not about how good you are, but it's about how good God is. Can you say amen? That is why you need to read the scripture. That's why you need to read the Bible to understand what God has promised you. Another story, Elijah. The Bible says that Elijah prayed and the rain stopped for 3.5 years because the people were in apostasy. They were coming against God and worshiping idols, right? So look at what James 5 verse 17 says. Let's read this together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Look at this verse. First sentence, it says, Elijah was a... Everyone say, that's you. Elijah was just a man. But why could he pray for heaven to stop rain for 3.5 years? Because he knew that that was God's intent. That was God's way of bringing the children back into alignment with him. You see, when you partner with God in prayer, when you know what God has promised, then God will manifest things above and beyond your wildest imagination when you align yourself with him. Everyone say, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. So our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, part four, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is about surrender. After alignment comes surrender. So you cannot align and not surrender. But when you surrender, that's where heaven now takes over. Not culture, not emotion, not preference, not experience. Prayer becomes powerful when we agree with heaven. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? So in the Garden of Gethsemane in Luke 22, we know the story. Jesus was there. It was before his crucifixion. And during that prayer, he knew what he was going to go through, and he prayed. He prayed for the Father to take this cup away from him. Look at the verse. It says, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. 3 times Jesus prayed. But there was no response from heaven. So we know that it is the Father's will for him to go through it. It is the Father's will for him to go through that Gethsemane, that experience. Understand that after the third prayer, in this story was spoken in all 4 Gospels. But in the Gospel of Luke, after the 3rd time he prayed and there was no response from heaven, the Bible says, He began to will himself to obey God. And the angels came and ministered to the Lord. The angels came and ministered to him. Let me assuredly tell you that Jesus died in Gethsemane, not on Calvary. At that moment, he already committed to obedience. And he died there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And because of that, when alignment comes, it releases grace and authority. That's why Jesus could carry the cross through to Calvary. So understand also, agreement activates heaven. When you agree with heaven, that's where the angels come and minister to him, and the angels will come to minister to you. The most powerful prayers are not creative prayers, they are surrendered prayers. Everyone says surrender. Everyone say, your will be done. Say, your will be done. So I want to share with you, when you pray, you may not know everything that God has will for you, but you can pray whatever is in your desire, what you want to see according to the scripture, what God promised you in general, but in the specific, you can always say this, your will be done. Your will be done. Yes? No confusion. Whatever God promises are always yes and amen. For example, the Bible says that when you believe, you and your household shall be saved. So if you are praying for a son, a daughter, someone who needs to be saved, then you claim that scripture. You claim that promise. Lord, your scripture says that, you know, that you desire to save to the uttermost. You desire to save my household. You know, I pray that he will come to church with me. You know, he will encounter this, will encounter that. You can say what you want. Yeah. But at the end of the day, you subject your will to God. Say, God, your will be done. But I know the promises of God are yes and amen. Amen? No confusion here. Yes, many a times people say, I pray, but I'm not sure. Is this God's will? Is that God's will? I say, so long as God promised, you can say whatever you want. At the end of the day, you surrender and say, God, your will be done. That's it. And then you release the prayer to the Lord. Are you learning something today? All right. Your will be done on earth as in this in heaven. Next one, give us this day our daily bread. So only after the kingdom, after you have alignment, surrender, that's where you pray for provision. So Jesus introduces provision. Now notice the order, identity, honor, alignment, surrender, then provision. Kingdom unlocks provision. Next week, I'm going to share about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a subject that is quite cryptic in the Bible, meaning that there's not a lot of illustration what the kingdom of God is. Many people try to put the kingdom of God and righteousness together. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom and its righteousness, not... So the kingdom is different from its righteousness. So next week, I'm going to expound on that and show you what the kingdom of God is all about. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Understand that God has provision, desire to have provision for all of us. And so this is a promise you can claim. Yes? This is a promise you can claim. How is going to unfold? Your will be done. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? This is a promise you claim. How it unfolds in your life, your will be done. All right? So let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Amen. So God wants you to have all grace, all sufficiency, all things, abundance, every good work. So as long as you don't have all, this verse is still working for you. Amen. That's the power of the Word of God. I don't know why people don't read the Word of God. Because the Word of God is living and it's powerful. It is not a stagnant thing. It comes up and it tries to form, it tries to make it manifest in your life. And as long as you believe it, this Word is always forming. If you have not had enough of everything, then that means this verse is still working in your life. Amen. Amen. So God gives daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Because why? Dependency builds intimacy. Yeah, just now Pastor Edwin had a very good offering message. He said, well, give me this breakthrough and I will be okay. You know, I'm set. No. God always gives you what is enough right now and wants to give you even more. So that we constantly is dependent on Him. God is wanting you to go from faith to faith, glory to glory. He never wants you to be stagnant, to just be contented, to be where you are. He wants to always evolve you and cause you to come up higher. Can you say amen? Amen. So our Father in heaven, hallowed. Thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Number 6, forgive us our debts as we forgive others. This part is about freedom. After alignment, surrender, provision, then now God wants us to make sure that we are free. This is the OD section that Jesus expands on after the prayer. Listen. He expands because this is important. Let me tell you why. Because unforgiveness blocks your spiritual flow. Unforgiveness blocks your heart from receiving from the Father. Unforgiveness builds wall so you cannot feel your Father's heart. So everything now becomes distorted. Listen up. Forgiveness is not optional in kingdom living. Forgiveness is not optional. Because why? When you don't forgive, you're not free. But the scripture says Jesus came to set us free, and we must be free indeed. It is for freedom that Christ has come to set us free. Unforgiveness creates spiritual blockage, emotional heaviness. And some of you feel heavy because of it. There is unforgiveness in your heart. And some people are sick because of unforgiveness. Relational distortion happens when you have unforgiveness. There's resistance to prayer when you have unforgiveness in your heart. But the most important thing is this. When you have unforgiveness, you are misaligned with God. You're no longer aligned. Have you ever had back pain before? Because your bones are not aligned, right? And because you're not aligned, guess what? The blood doesn't flow. You have numbness on this side, and then you have pain on this side, and then you walk and you cannot walk straight. You cannot carry stuff. Your whole life becomes dysfunctional. And that's what the devil wants for you. He cannot rob you of your salvation, but he always causes you to be misaligned. So much so that you cannot feel God's love. Your prayer has no effects. Your life is in a mess. And then you think God doesn't care. And then after that, you begin to say, oh, what's the point? Let me leave my church, live my own life since nothing changed. And then you're right exactly where the devil wants you to be, in the pit. You see the strategy? And what is God's strategy? God's strategy is always for you to come into alignment. Amen. Forgiveness restores alignment. So I want to encourage you, treat forgiveness not as an emotional decision, but actually as a strategy for alignment. To always align yourself first. Doesn't matter. I'm upset with Derek. Never mind. Align myself with God, my Father in heaven. You know, today I align myself. I release forgiveness. I release all judgment against my husband. I'm just saying an example, okay? Yeah. Forgiveness is not saying it didn't hurt. Yeah. Forgiveness is saying that I will not let this control me anymore. I am setting myself free. Amen. You have the power to set yourself free. Amen. Because Christ has come to set you free. Amen. No one has the power to set you free except you. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Close your eyes now. As Christians, we need to practice forgiveness. Make this a spiritual discipline every day to check, have you forgiven? Are there things, people that you have to forgive? Do you have to forgive yourself? Today I want to pray, Holy Spirit, come. Come and show us. Just stay in the silence in the presence of God. Just begin to visualize. Visualize God in the presence. And then ask the Holy Spirit, is there someone you need to forgive? Is there someone in your life that has done you wrong? Someone who has not been kind to you or disappointed you or betrayed you or abandon you, that should be there for you in your most difficult moments? Are there people right now? Holy Spirit, I pray, begin to drop names, vision, pictures of people. And if there is, you know, you don't need to go, you don't need to be right where they are. You can, right here, right now, set yourself free. I want you to visualize that person in front of you, and I want you to say it in your heart. Call out their name and say, so and so. Say, I forgive you. I release all judgment against you. I set you free from all judgment. And today I set myself free just as the Lord has set me free. In Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen, amen. Just have the house light on. Amen. So the next part, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is protection. Everyone say protection. See, Jesus assumes that temptation exists, warfare exists, evil exists. When people tell you evil doesn't exist, warfare doesn't exist, then they are going against the word of the Lord. Even Jesus himself says, deliver us from evil. But understand also, because evil exists, there's also protection. Protection exists. So prayer keeps us spiritually alert, not fearful, but aware. Aware of what is happening in the realm of the unseen, aware of what is hidden, aware of the intention of demons and the intentions of God. Can you say amen? See, victory is not avoiding battle, but victory is walking protected inside the battle. 1 Corinthians 10, we know the verse very well. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except that is common to men. That God is faithful, he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. When I know this, it sets me free. Understand that God loves you so much that nothing happens in your life that is beyond you. That whatever happens in your life, God has a way of escape for you. And how do you know that way of escape is through prayer? It's to come into alignment, intimacy with God. And through that, you will understand what to do in those situations. Matthew 26 verse 41. Say this, read this verse together with me. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So when you pray, do you know what you are doing? You are coming up and sitting where God is sitting. You see, when you don't see where God is sitting, you can't see what God is seeing. Can you say amen? Many a times when we go through a mountain, we think, God, come, level the mountains. You know, get rid of this person, get rid of that person. It's easy for God to get rid of them, right? Get rid of all my problems, right? But then when you pray, you come up and you sit with God. Then you begin to understand what God is wanting to do through that person. Because if that person is not in your life, you will not learn how to be forbearing. You will not learn how to be gracious. You will not learn how to pray because he's a thorn in your flesh. Because he caused you so much pain that you would, you know, run to God. Amen. Sometimes God's view from where he is not to level the mountains, but to help you cross over it. So when you pray, you come up and see from God's perspective. And then you will have a clear perspective of your situation and your life. Amen. James 1 verse 12, it says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So when you overcome, you will receive an eternal reward. Finally, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Part 8, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. The prayer ends where it started, with God, right? Not with us. Prayer begins with God, ends with God. It's like life. Life begins with God, and ends with God. So what must we remember at the end? Before we end the prayer, remember you have a Father. Remember that you are not forgotten. Remember that you are not unseen. Remember that you are beloved. Remember that you are precious. Remember that you are important. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us as we forgive the sins of others. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. So that's the structure of the Lord's Prayer. Number one, when I say identity, you say what's in the bracket, okay? All right. Can we have the other slide? The previous slide. Everyone say identity. Say our Father. Honor, say hallowed be your name. Alignment, say your kingdom come. Surrender, say your will be done. Dependency, give us daily bread. Freedom, forgive us as we forgive others. Protection, say deliver us from evil. Worship, say yours is the kingdom forever. So Jesus taught us that prayer is a doorway into identity, alignment, authority, provision, freedom, protection, and intimacy. So today we are not just learning how to pray or pray more. We are learning how to come closer to God. Because when the intimacy with the Father is restored, everything else becomes aligned, and from that place of intimacy, our prayers no longer becomes requests, but our prayers becomes partnership with heaven. Finally, the last verse today, James 5 verse 16. I want us to read this together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Stand up where you are today. Lift up your hands and say,
My prayer
is powerful and effective. Say,
My prayer
is powerful.
And 100% effective.
You know why it's 100% effective? Because if every prayer is about alignment and intimacy, it's 100% achievable. Because it's all up to you. Amen? Many people have a problem with this verse because they think that prayer is, you know, something that is such so scientific and it is unknown. You are not sure of your prayer. But guess what? God instituted prayer for you so that you can come into alignment and intimacy with Him. You don't need any prayer guru. Amen? You don't need any prayer guru because they cannot stand in intimacy for you. Because only you can open up your heart and say, Father, I want a relationship with you. Can you say amen? Only you can say, I align my heart. Your will is my will. Your work is my work. Your kingdom is my kingdom. So understand, this verse is 100% effective when you understand the ultimate goal, the final goal, the epitome of prayer is alignment and intimacy. When you come to God and all you do is align and desire for intimacy, everything that comes out of your spirit is from the Lord. You may want to pray something, but the Holy Spirit will pray something else. You are lending your voice to God. And because you're lending your voice to God, Everything that God prays is effective. I want to encourage all of you to really learn how to draw near to your Father through prayer. Use this framework that the Lord has so lovingly gave us to really approach God every day through prayer. Amen. Everyone say, my prayer is powerful.
My prayer is powerful.
Say, my prayer is effective.
My prayer is effective.
It's effective.
Your prayer is so crucial for you. I want all of you to learn how to pray. Many years ago, I had an encounter that God was my Father. I shared this story before. You know, I was born out of a wedlock. I do not know my father. I've never seen my father before. But I always thought, I don't need my father. I can be on my own. I have my heavenly father, you know. But I never really had an intimacy with my father. I know him as a father, but I never could see him like a dad. So many years ago, I was already a pastor. I was already a believer. I went to Bible school. But when I was in that conference, I had an encounter with God. And in that encounter, I was like the woman with the alabaster flask. I was at the feet of Jesus. I thought it was the feet of Jesus. I was crying. I felt so loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when I I heard the Lord say, lift up your head. So I lifted up my head in that vision. I was no longer staring at the face of Jesus. I knew I was staring at the face. It was not a face. It was just bright light. I was staring at my Father. And out of my spirit, I said, Dad. You see, I never could say Dad before because I never knew my Father before. And when every time people say, your Father is your ever Daddy God, it always makes me feel uncomfortable. But that day, when I had that encounter, out comes my spirit, I call him Dad. That was very important because that encounter, and at that point when I call him Dad, you know what the Father said? The Father said to me, say, Susan, you are finally home. You are finally home. That day, I finally came home. I finally know how to build a home with my Father in my heart. And that was pivotal for me because after that, I went through the greatest testing of my own personal life. At the age of 55, it was the hardest year of my life. I went through the valley of Baca. I went through a valley where I had to really deconstruct. God deconstructed me and began to reconstruct me. In that valley, if I had not known my Father, I would not really know how to anchor myself. But it is the daily walk, the daily prayer walk, where I pray the Lord's Prayer and allow that time of alignment and intimacy to happen, that I found strength to overcome day after day until I got to the other side. So understand, prayer is not rocket science. Prayer is all about you coming into alignment and intimacy. Lift up your hands, let's worship.